Okay, we're ready to rock and roll. The time is 12:34 and the special meeting of the Budget Personnel and Nominating Committee is commencing October 19th, 2022, Wednesday. I just want to thank anybody that's attending remotely. This is being handled via Zoom because of the governor's pandemic act allowing such. So we'll go ahead and start with roll call. Let's see, Rich or Rosa, did one or the other want to call roll?
I'll do it. Steve McShane.
Here.
Ryan Coonerty.
Here.
Wendy Root Askew. Sandy Brown.
Oh, I don't think they're on exec. This is the, the budget personnel nominating.
Marianne Carbone.
Here.
Who else was it?
Sam Story. Not here.
Chris Lopez?
No, he's not, but Zach Friend is. Isn't he or is he not? Oh, shoot.
I think he is.
Maybe not.
Okay.
Well, we have a quorum.
Okay. All right. Thank you. The first item is an action item, and that is to receive the report and approve continued remote meetings for the next 30 days. Rich?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair, and greetings from Alexandria, Virginia. My background belies my true location, and we have Siri back. Hi, Siri. As we all have been through this drill a number of times before, AB 361 allows us to operate remotely and through teleconference, as long as we have a couple of conditions that are present, one being that the governor's executive order remains in effect, and then the Monterey County Health Officer is still recommending that folks socially distance in public meetings. So with those two conditions satisfied, we're able to go on. I should just add a note that I understand that Governor Newsom has signaled that he will be lifting the emergency order in sometime in February.
Great. Thank you. Okay. Any questions?
No questions here. Maybe a question. I was understanding that there was going to be a change with the AB 361 at the beginning. Starting in January, where they would allow for a majority of the quorum to be on site and some off site, still virtual.
That's correct. We're still working on how that's going to be implemented. There's also some HIPAA issues because if you do not make it to the in person meeting, you have to explain as to why you're not there. Available to meet in person. So we're still seeing how that the implementation is going to look for that. But there's no doubt that the world's changed and everybody is trying to look at now meeting more remotely than we have prior to COVID.
Yeah, well said. I said to Marianne when we talked earlier, I said, hey, if they bring back the terrific lunch, then that's a heck of an incentive. We do miss meeting in person, and I think there's an element to that, but I'm sure there'll be ongoing discussions. Okay, seeing none from the public. Let's see. Well, Siri, will you call the roll?
Will do. Director Carbone.
Yes.
Thank you. Director Coonerty.
Here.
Director Story. Absent. Chair McShane.
Yes.
And Director Lopez is absent, excused.
So okay. Thank you. And then we have our next item, which is an action item just to approve the minutes from our last meeting, May 18th. Let's see. Rich, anything you'd like to add or no?
No, I think we're good.
Okay. So with that, any questions or going to the public? Okay, we'll entertain a motion.
So move, Carbone.
Thank you.
Moved McShane or seconded McShane, sorry. So moved and seconded. Go ahead and call the roll, Siri.
Will do. Chair McShane?
Yes.
Director Carbone?
Yes.
Director Coonerty?
Yes.
Story and Lopez are absent. Approved unanimously.
All right. Our next item is public comments. Not seeing any members of the public.
Nothing received at the district office.
Okay, we'll go ahead and adjourn 12:40.
Thank you.
And we'll call to order our normal and regular Budget Personnel Nominating Committee, 12:40 p.m., Wednesday, October 19th, 2022, meeting remotely under the governor's executive order. Will you go ahead and call the roll?
Siri? Yes, I will. Director Machine.
Yes.
Director Carbone.
Yes.
Director Kernity.
Yes.
Director Story, he is absent. Director Lopez,
he is absent.
We have quorum.
Okay, so with that said, we'll go right into public comment. Any members of the public wish to address items that are not on the agenda?
Nothing received in the district office.
Okay. With that, we'll go right into our first action item, and that is to approve the minutes from our last meeting. There's not any questions. We'll just quickly go to the public.
Nothing received.
Okay, we'll take a motion on the topic. Or Mary Ann, did you have a question?
No, I'm going to make a motion for approval.
Okay, moved by Mary Ann. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you.
Moved and seconded. Go ahead and call the roll, Siri.
All right. Director Kernity.
Yes.
Director Carbone.
Yes.
And Chair Chang.
Yes.
Approved unanimously.
Okay. We'll move on to our next item, and that is a report on our OPED trust and pension trust accounts for the quarter ending June 30th. Rosa?
Hey, thank you. Good afternoon, members of the board. So this is to receive the report of the other post-employment benefits trust, the OPEB trust, and the pension trust for the quarter end of June 30th, 2022. The district has established a trust since October 2013 to pre-fund its OPEB liability. It is administered by the Public Agency Retirement Services, otherwise known as PARS. In March 2018, the board approved a resolution adopting a new trust to fund both the OPEB and the pension obligations. The OPEB trust account balance was transferred to the new trust in July 2018. It's using the balanced investment strategy. The district made a first deposit to the pension in May 2020, and it's using the moderately conservative Highmark Plus investment strategy. The OPEB and pension trust investment guidelines call for a quarterly review of the trust accounts. Investment activity by the Budget and Personnel Committee. Below is a summary of both the OPEB, pension, and trust investments as of June 30th, 2022. So currently the OPEB trust balance through June 30th is $1,108,500. Our investment net income is $256,500. We've had some losses here for the 1 month return is a negative 5.7, 3 month return a negative 11.21, and a 1 year return 13.49. 3 year average is 4.2%. The pension trust is under the moderately conservative Highmark Plus strategy. Our account balance is $562,158. Through quarter ended 6/30/22, we have a net loss of $12,841,000. 1 month return average is negative 3.81. 3 month return is negative 7.96, and the 1 year is a negative 11.39. I've attached the PARS June 30th statement to show that information, and also attached is the account summaries for both the OPEB and the pension.
Okay. Any questions regarding the report or the presentation?
I guess I'll just make a comment. So it looks like we've been doing real well since 2013. There are a few losses in there, so different over the length of time, but it looks like we had in 2021, it looks like March, June, and September were where we had some losses. So, but I was wondering, so do we have, is that an $89,049 loss for in which time is that? Is that just for the month?
Where are you looking at?
I'm on page 13, just under earnings. Page 13.
Oh yes, yeah, so that is for the month of June. That is a loss of total $89,000, and that's for the OPEB and the pension, and that's just for 1 month. So the reports that I show the summaries are for 3 months. Every 3 months, I do it by quarter. So the 630 includes April, May, and June of 2022.
Okay. And I thank you for bringing these back every quarter. That's a great idea. Thank you.
You're welcome.
If I may, so, for OPEB and the pension trust, we're supposed to be getting 7% and 4.7% respectively. And that's in the what they call the balanced portfolio for OPEB and then the conservative fund for the pension. And the board actually went with the conservative function most recently. So we were doing well, really well with the 7% and sometimes well over 10%. But looks like we're going through some bumpy periods. And my concern is the more that we see these negative numbers, the more we have to overcome down the road. And so the board can, and under your advisement, we can actually switch our investment strategies anytime. So if you want to go to a more conservative approach, we can do that. It's a matter of risk. The OPEB trust with the 7% is a little more risky than the conservative approach, which is balanced, that they're trying to get 4.7 on return. So I know we had a lot of strong opinions in the past on the board. Some people wanted to play with this on a monthly basis. I wouldn't recommend that. You just never know what's going to happen. So the other one is just let it ride. And so we are contributing. So our investments should pay off once the market turns around, because we'll have purchased more stock. So that's just something to consider. But if somebody, you want to raise the red flag and say, let's bring it to the full board for consideration, we'll be happy to do that. I'm not an investment banker, so, nor do I have a crystal ball. So I was really, looked like we were really smart for OPEB. And I guess it's looking like we were smarter too for the pension trust account. So, but we do have options available to us down the road. I will also just lastly say that regardless of how well or poorly we do, they are getting their fees. So we're in the wrong business.
Richard, I know, don't we have, somebody who oversees these, the investments. So I don't know how the rest of the board feels, but so the OPEB is a little bit riskier. I mean, it's great if, if the market's doing well, we have a higher return. But do we want to look at this in another 3 months to see we're doing?
That's a good idea. What I would recommend, Marianne, is that maybe we have a Highmark is the investment firm, have them come and do a presentation on where they think the market's going and what it would mean to maybe switch our investment strategy, especially on the OPEB side.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Thank you very much. I'm sure we'll have more conversation on this when we meet as a full board as well. Okay, any further questions? Seeing none, we'll go to the public. Seeing none, we'll look for a motion. Or we don't need a motion, it's just a report, sorry. Okay, well, we'll move right into the County Treasurer's Report on Investments, quarter ending June 30th, 2022. Thank you.
Okay, so this is to receive and accept the Monterey County Treasurer's Report of Investments for quarter ended June 30th, 2022. The district's deposits its cash receipts with the county and request funds from the county as needed for the accounts payable and payroll transactions. The county accounts for these monies in a separate fund and also manages the investments for the district. I've attached the county's treasurer's report for quarter ended 6/30/2022. The overall yield on investments for the quarter was 0.71, which is higher than the previous year's yield of 0.40% and higher than the yield from the same quarter in 2021, which was 0.69%. The economic factors affecting the investment performance are outlined in the treasurer's staff report to the board of supervisors and in Exhibit A of the report. The yield is lower than the one-year treasury bill of 2.74 as shown on page one of the report. The majority of the county's investment portfolio is with US Treasuries, overnight liquid assets, and federal agencies. And that's displayed on page two of the report. As of this date of the report, we've received $95,707 through the fourth quarter of 2021. Its share of the quarterly investments for the fourth quarter was received in August 2022. Our annual budget for interest was $183,000, and attached is the treasurer's report for the quarter ended 6/30/2022.
Okay, questions? Okay, I'm looking to, got it. Okay, public, no, received. Okay, thank you, Siri. We'll go ahead and deem this as received and come to item number seven. We have a hearing board public member applications presentation and make recommendations to the board of directors to appoint one public member and one alternate member. So Amy?
Good afternoon. So just wanted to give you just a brief background about the hearing board. It's a quasi-judicial panel and it's independent from the Air District. And they hear cases such as variances, which would be a company perhaps asking for relief from a permit condition that they can't meet for some reason. And they would bring their case to the hearing board, and the hearing board needs to decide whether or not, based on the evidence that the company gives them, if they can give them some temporary relief from that permit condition to do what they need to do to get back to operating in compliance. So the hearing board is made up of five members. There's one lawyer, one professional engineer, one medical person, and two members of the public. And each member of the board can have an alternate, and their term is for 3 years. And then finally, a quorum is three members. So as of today, we have one lawyer, one professional engineer, and one public member. However, our professional engineer will be retiring when their term expires on November 30th. So we still are looking for a medical professional, and then we'll be looking for a professional engineer as well. So today before you are two applications for a public member position, and those applications were included in the agenda packet. So our recommendation today is that one of those public members is appointed to the board and the other as an alternate, so that we, if needed, can maintain that quorum until we can get another professional engineer and medical professional in the very near future. So with that, I would take any questions.
Well, let's have a conversation about this. Did you, Amy, vet the applications in any way, or is there anything that you can provide with respect to the applications from staff standpoint as to maybe diversity or any sort of prioritization?
What I can offer is that we currently don't have any public, any members actually at all on the hearing board from Monterey County. I think perhaps most of the applicants are from Monterey County, but this would at least provide representation for Monterey County on the hearing board.
That's great. Do you want to just review the applications for us? That would be helpful.
Is that okay? I don't, the board is supposed to pick the application. So the
No, I know that. We're not asking for your opinion. Just profile or highlights would be good.
The one applicant is a teacher, and that is John Villegas. Mm-hmm. And the second applicant, who is Emmett Linder, he is the director of mission engagement at, I believe it's Driscoll. Let me just confirm.
Yeah.
So two very different applications, and whatever the board would see fit to put as a public members on the hearing board.
Well, given that, you know, they have ties to the Valley or Salinas, I can offer my input. And we can just have an open discussion about both these guys. They're both good public servants in the sense that one, John, city council member, right? Served on the Salinas City Council. And then Emmett Linder, longtime, you know, associated with Driscoll's, but he's present in a lot of meetings, active in the region. You know, given that Driscoll's is in farming, I guess I would ask, do we have anybody from agriculture or from agricultural ties on the hearing board?
I don't think so. The other public member, I believe, is maybe on the city of Watsonville, city council member, so.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how quick everybody wants to get through this, but I would probably recommend Emmett Linder. John Villegas on city council was a little polarizing. I mean, I know him, he's a friend. You know, he'd get a little exciting at times, and you know, maybe Rich needs that excitement in his life.
No, I would just offer that on my limited research too, and I don't know how much we're crossing, but there's a lot of publicly available information. So there are some, there's some history associated with John, but he seems to be have the skill set, but there was some, like you said, some issues in the past and so forth. But I think they both bring a considerable and vast experience to the board. And you know, it's not really so much right now, since we only have two, we're looking to fill two positions. One would be the main member and the alternate. So either way, I think we're good.
You know what? That's what we do. So why don't we appoint, my recommendation, you know, knowing both of these guys, I mean, and knowing them fairly well for 20, well, not 20 years, but a long time, I would appoint Emmett as the representative, and then we could appoint John Villegas as the alternate. We need a motion on this so that we can direct the board. And I don't know if anybody else wants to chime in or has direct experience with these guys. They're both qualified. They'll both do a great job. But that's what I would recommend.
I'll move that recommended action.
I'll second.
Okay. All right. So moved and seconded. Siri, call the roll.
Will do.
Chairman. Do you want to get public?
No. Oh, thank you. Yeah. All right. Well, let's just look real quick. Hang on. I didn't see anything a second ago. So
nothing received at the district office.
Okay, good. All right, so then go ahead. Thank you, Rich. Yeah, go ahead, call the rolls.
Shear McShane?
Yes.
Director Coonerty?
Yep.
Director Carbone?
Yes.
Approved unanimously.
Okay, that brings to close our business for this Budget, Personnel, and Nominating Committee meeting. I want to thank everybody for being here, and we'll see everybody in just another half hour.
Thank you.
Okay.